Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Red Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the very first edition of the Macau International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Shekhar Kapoor. Delighted to have you here, and you're also here as the president of the jury of this inaugural edition of the festival. So thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So exactly because it's the inaugural edition of the festival, I guess the first banal sort of question is, what do you think of it so far? What's your opinion of it?
I think we've really enjoyed it so far. I think as a jury, we've been really pleased. The selection of the films is really good. And you can tell by the fact that we were fighting so much in the ultimate jury deliberations. And the more you fight, the more you know that people are passionate about the films they've seen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I have seen juries where nobody likes a film, so it's just so easy. Oh, I don't care. You give it a fine, that's fine too. Not in this one. People had very, very strong opinions about what they loved.
Yeah.
And therefore, we know that the films were good. So as a jury, as the chairman of the jury, this was an amazing experience. We saw some amazing films. As far as the festival, we were really well looked after. So we as a jury have no complaint.
Yeah.
In the larger side, I haven't seen any problems that, you know, I was one of the instigators of the Goa Film Festival in India.
Indeed.
It seems to run absolutely smooth. Where will this festival go from here? From an outside perspective, I think that this is the right time to start this festival, and this is the right place. I say the right place A, because it's China, and everybody's interested in China. And B, because Macau has a certain exotic idea to it, and I don't see anybody that I have seen, if I say, would you like to come to Macau? Oh yeah, I've heard a lot about Macau. So that adds to the glamour and exotic idea of the place. Hong Kong, everybody's been to. Yeah, I've been to Hong Kong. Plus, came here 30 years ago. There was nothing here. It was just an exotic place to visit. I was a bit shocked.
Yeah.
30 years later, it's a built-up city now.
Sure. Yeah, I heard that one of the things that this festival aims to do is like to actually develop an audience for different sort of films that aren't mainstream. So, I guess the role of the festival can always be seen in a successful festival, let's say, can always be seen in two kind of ways. One is, does it care about the film industry? And the other side is, does it care about the actual audience that goes to see this film? Do you find that's what the festival needs to do?
I think that the audience, if you develop and you seem to be caring about the film industry, and you have the infrastructure, because a lot of times you just don't have the infrastructure, and they have amazing infrastructure here, and you give people an enjoyable experience. It's not just about seeing the films, it's that they can get from one theater to another easier. I think that to develop a local audience, but then I think Hong Kong is local. Here, it's only an hour away.
That's true.
You know, an hour. It takes me longer when I go to in London. You know, if you are at Cannes, going from your hotel in a car from one end of the Croisette to the theater could take you 2 hours.
Nightmare.
Right? Yeah. So this here, it's easier actually to get from Hong Kong to here. So I don't think it's just to create that 1 week where people want to be involved in the idea of being in a festival and going. It's not just the films you've selected to see. I go to festivals to find films that I've never heard of and to see. So the ability to create here a love of cinema. But a love of cinema has to be the festival of cinema also. There's a reason we say we call it a film festival. Means talks, there should be festivities. So a place where everybody can meet constantly. I go to film festivals to meet other directors. Now, I can, of course, as a jury member, I can, of course, if I have a film in the festival, then I'm automatically meeting other people. But what if I'm just an audience member? Yeah. What if I'm just a director that's come to be in a festival? I would like to be in a place where I know where to go, where all the other directors are hanging out, or where all the other film lovers are hanging out. And Macau has that ability to set up these places. You know, we just went to the beach. There's a lovely beach here. There's some lovely shacks to eat. But there's also this incredible infrastructure where you can have theaters and everything. So I think that if we can encourage that, idea of being a festival be great.
Well, you said, you know, you have to develop a love of cinema, and cinema, because it's a discovery, doesn't hurt to host a festival in a place that is a discovery in itself. Lots of people want to go to Macau but never do. Now they have a reason to go.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, this is something that's very interesting, seeing as we are here now, that there's a lot of interest in China and all of the industries. But what specifically, how can the cinema industry or filmmakers benefit from China being involved in productions?
Well, we know that China is one of the fastest growing film markets in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that China, the government itself, encourages film. All over the world, the number of cinemas is going down. In China, they're adding 15 screens every day.
Ah, every day.
Every day.
That's a crazy statistic.
Yeah, 15 screens are being added every day in China. So it is fast becoming a huge place for cinema.
Yeah.
You know, and therefore, and because people are interested in China anyway today. And everybody is looking for funds from China to make films. But there's also another reason, that the new culture is Asian. In terms of globalization, there has to be a counterculture. Since the Second World War, the dominant culture of the world has been American and Western culture. Right? I think people are bored.
Oh, yeah.
I think also that people are coming to a way of, we need to look for another culture. And the Asian youth is becoming more confident and proud of their culture. Therefore, they're taking that. I remember as a kid in India, my aspirations were completely American.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
And in fact, it seems like there's been times when American cinema was influenced by other nationalities but always remained prevailing. Now, stylistically, something can change.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And I think that that will come from Asia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that could be spearheaded by festivals like Macau. That could be spearheaded by countries like India and China. In fact, one of the reasons I was so excited about being the chairman of this festival is that maybe I could somehow become a kind of bridge between Indian cinema, which is the largest filmmaker in the world, and Chinese cinema, which has become very successful, and because they're building so many theaters. Can we get together in Asia somehow, Korean and Indian and Japanese and Chinese films, and get together and perform and create another way of thinking and a way of culture to, in the context of globalization, have a culture that says, well, actually, we have a different point of view, because certainly 75% of the population of the world lives in Asia.
Yeah, that's a lot of, that's a large population.
Yeah.
Do you find that cinema is the best art form where this can happen, where this can actually take place, in terms of, like, because it's accessible to people and also just because of its nature, because it's visual, because of its sound, its everything?
Yeah. It's because we tell personal stories.
Uh-huh.
And because, you know, 100,000 people killed, our brain has a wonderful way of making that a statistic.
Yeah.
What cinema can do is it can take one person and individualize that person and create with a personal relationship between you and that person gets killed in a war, and you understand the context of war far better.
Yes.
And that's what films can do. They can, with music, with storytelling, with visuals, with great performances, can make an event personal to you.
I see. Cinema is a language, but it can only be made sense of by the person that's making the film.
Yes, of course, because there's an artist behind every art. So always.
Yeah. Also, in terms of, like, the films that you know, kind of serve as a bridge between cultures, I find them to be more interesting than ones that are just, you know, made for the sake of being made. I'm talking about, of course, a lot of the studio movies, for instance. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that a large part, because film has become so much more expensive.
Yeah,
they can't afford to fail, and if you get to a point where you absolutely cannot, absolutely will not take a risk, and you cannot afford to fail at all, then you're not, art encompasses the idea of potentially failure. Otherwise, it doesn't innovate. Otherwise, it does not take risks.
Yeah.
And if you do not take risks at all, you shouldn't. Then you don't want to be in the movie making business. Then you are in the marketing business.
Yeah.
And so a large part of what's happening in the West is marketing. It's not movie making. It's not storytelling. It's marketing.
Yeah, that's true. Final question, just one final question. Where does that leave the audience, in the sense that You mentioned that here in China, cinemas are being built, you know, 15 every day. Crazy statistic. But in a lot of other places, it isn't. Now, I also think that it's because of the way in which people consume cinema, which is different. It's more accessible. It's out there. But is there still a difference between watching a film in the cinema and just watching it online or streaming it on the computer? Is there still a difference?
Yes, of course there is. The very experience of cinema is different in a theater.
Yeah.
The experience of sitting in 600 people to 1,000 people in one theater,
yeah,
when you can hear them laugh, when you're actually there. I'm sure that now, very soon, in the next 5 years, we'll have virtual reality that will give you the experience of sitting in a theater. And
what do you think of that, by the way?
I think it's incredible.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely amazing. I think, though, that we assume that just because we can give the experience of virtual experiences, we can tell stories.
Yeah.
No, what we haven't yet learned is how to tell a story. Nothing surpasses storytelling. Of course, virtual reality can give you the experience of being shopping or being wearing clothes, or can give you the idea of walking on the ramp as a girl. Oh, I'm walking on the ramp, and give you that. That's a momentary experience. Mm. It's not a story.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, human beings survive. Our survival instinct is telling stories.
Yeah.
If we cannot tell a story, we do not exist as a community or in social context. Right from the time when there was lightning,
yeah,
the only way we said, oh, then we told a story. The gods are angry. The lightning god. Then we created the good god and the bad god. Storytelling. We explain our lives through storytellings. We understand our lives through stories, and so storytelling has to go on. We have to crack the idea of virtual reality cannot just be an experience. It has to tell a story.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us. It was a pleasure talking to you about cinema today, and keep making your wonderful films. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.